Madame Barbara Schreiner, Professor Schreiner, who's the deputy chair of the board of Mongerisa Europa. I'm going to hand over to you so that you take us, introduce the subject, and tell us who's going to do the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and good afternoon to all the honourable members and colleagues on the side of the table. As the Honourable Chair said, I'm Barbara Schreiner, I'm the Deputy Chair of ITMA Eastern Park. Apologies from the chairperson, he had an engagement today and he was unable to get out of it. And so he sent his formal apologies. I have with me Anise Carolia, who is the interim CEO of Mongerisa, and Abhinika Kadia, who is the CFO, and they will be doing the formal part of the presentation. I just wanted to say thank you very much for the opportunity for engaging with you. Obviously, we think that the Mongerisa Western Park is an incredibly important part of the South African project, and it's great to be able to present you this afternoon, and also it's great to be able to present a clean audit to you. And so we're very happy about that, and I'd like to thank the management team for ensuring that that is actually the case. And I think without any further engagement from my part, I will hand over to Anise, who will talk briefly, and then Abhida will take us through the financials.
Good afternoon. My name is Anise Carolia. I've been a public servant for 33 years, and in fact, became a scholar out of retirement to actually go as an interim CEO of Mongerisa. I had a bit of trepidation going, but nonetheless, given my age and health, I did this challenging task, but be that as it may. I'm on the job for 17 days now. Much has been going on to travel to understand the organization as a whole and to deal with issues that come up every day in the West End at St. Lucia. But be that as it may, I went through the report with the CFO and we prepared for it, and therefore we on top of things and we share the information with the honorable members and indeed the chairperson. I also take this opportunity of thanking Barbara Schreiner for coming as the deputy chairperson to support us. The summary of results for the year ended 2016 to 2017 for program is as follows. Park operations, we were off target on 2, and we are on target for 8. With regards to transformation, off target 1, on target 4, commercialization and tourism, off target 1 and on target 6. Corporate governance, off target 0, on target 9. Technically, we have 31 indicators, of which we have met 27. Program 1 is conservation and park operations. The number of park management meetings attended with day-to-day conservation managers. The annual target of 6, we achieved 7. Number of new environmental audits completed. The baseline was 5, the annual target was 6, the achievement was 7. The number of follow-up environment audits completed was the annual target was 5, the achievement was 6. The number of monitors deployed in Eastern Mongerisa, the baseline was 30, the annual target was 30, we achieved 28. The challenge basically is 2 environmental monitors resigned at the end of the third quarter to take up permanent deployment. Therefore, we need to put in some corrective measures, subject to, of course, the budget being offered to us. If our budget is quite small, it's 342 million. Number of hectares of invasive alien plants treated, 15,500, and the achievement was 27,995. Efficiencies resulted in higher rates of in additional hectares were completed. The number of kilometers of accessible coastline cleared, or cleaned rather, 320, and the achievement was 320. percentage completion of annual control burning program 100, achievement was only 21%. The challenge is actually besotted by the fact that unreasonable rain made it impossible to burn to the full extent. Corrective measures, the burning program has been revised to take into account vegetation changes resulting from climate change. Percentage applications processed in respect of developments in the buffer zone, 80, achievement 100%. Percentage of identified unauthorized development activities actioned legally, 100, and the achievement was 100%. Percentage completion of annual infrastructure maintenance program, 100. The annual target is 100, and the achievement was 100%. With regards to program 2, transformation, the number of temporary jobs created, baseline was 1,400, the annual target was 1,782, and we achieved creating 1,813 jobs. Number of training days, 4,800, achievement 4,785. Challenge, the actual cost of the training was marginally higher than the budgeted cost. The corrective measures, indeed, would be the review of our budget to remedy the situation. Number of people participating in SMEs and skills development programs, annual target was 250, we achieved 371, additional funding received from the craft program. Number of bursaries awarded, target 24, achievement 36, additional funding received. Percentage procurement from black-owned suppliers, the annual target was 76, the achievement was 76. Program 3, tourism and commercial. Revenue to the park from commercial sources in millions. Baseline was 15.9, the annual target was 17.4. We achieved 18.9 million. The largest contributor to the increase was our access fee. Visitor entries, 480,000 from the baseline of 506,860. Achievement was 486,614. So we're on target, or rather slightly above target. Percentage lapsed licenses, concessions, retarded, retended, 80, achievement 80%. Percentage implementation of plan in respect of new tourism development, 60, achievement 50%. Challenge Charters Creek construction awarded. The project has been reduced to the campsite and day visitor facilities to come into the budget. Preliminary of 7 additional sites completed. EIA for Benghazi was published for comment. Corrective measures delays to be included in our plan. Number of annual events implemented, 3. Achievement, 5. 2 test events were added to determine the feasibility of introducing a trial run and a surf ski challenge. Implementation of annual marketing and PR programs, 100. Achievement, 100. Implementation of annual infrastructure program, percentage completion, 90. Achievement, 90. Program 4, finance and administration. Percentage of new approved research proposals that relate to management, 50. Achievement was 50. Implementation of effective monitoring programs for the park, monitoring of impacts of implementation on the ecological health of Saint Lucia, achievement, review report is completed. Number of visitor market surveys, 2, achievement was 2. Percentage completion of the environment education plan for the year was 100, and the achievement was 100%. Percentage implementation of plans to mitigate the impact of identified threats to rare and endangered species and ecosystems, 100, achievement 100%. Percentage completion of plan requested, required within the financial year, 100, achievement 100%. Unqualified external audit opinion, unqualified baseline, unqualified opinion, achievement, unqualified opinion. Assessment of and percentage implementation of business improvements, complete assessment of business improvements and technical requirements. Achievement, assessment completed. to position the organization as an employer of choice in the market, the performance indicator, percentage retention of skill, baseline 80, annual target 90, achievement 97%. The financial performance will be undertaken by the CFO.
To the point,
please.
With experience talking or
I'm from your province, yes.
Northwest.
Yeah, I should have declared that. Okay, are you ready for the financial? Okay.
Good afternoon, Chair, and good afternoon, honorable members. In terms of the 2016-17 financial performance, I'm charged with the presentation on the summary. The accounting revenue increased by 79% from the previous financial year due to an increase in the project-related grants. Expenditure increased by 51.9% from the previous financial year, and the major contributor to the increase was project costs, the loss on the disposal of assets, as well as legal and professional fees. The surplus was 145.6, and it was a result of the requirements of the bank debt. This is not a cash surplus, this is a surplus relating to the grant. And as a result of the accounting revenue increasing, the surplus was dramatically increased. There is one contingent liability, which is related to the Kudeka Forest, and this is in the amount of 35.1 million. In respect of a wildfire and the damaged plantation. The total net assets increased by 135.6. This was a result of the increase in the surplus, as well as a result of the increase in the assets, which had a special increase in the net assets. In terms of the final budget versus the actual, the variances here mainly refer to the dredge pool and the removal of the dredge pool. Yes, you will see that there are very big differences with regards to this, and this is mainly a result of savings from other projects as well as the World Bank funding that was redirected towards the trade. So in terms of the grant funding, the favorable amount is 137 million. Out of this, 103 million is due to the difference in the basis of accounting between the actual budget and the financial statements. And the balance of the 34 million is due to the additional funding that was secured from PAL, the GEF, which is the World Bank, as well as the National Institute of Tourism. Our admin fees, there was an increase in admin fees of 1.5 million, and this is a result of recovery fund project expenditure. So it's a percentage of the project expenditure that we do, and that enables us then to calculate our admin fees. Park revenue was over by 1.4 million, and these, as the CEO stated, due to increases in the access fee, as well as the number of activity sites. With regards to the expenses, the chemicals and equipment was over by 37 million, and these were savings from the GEF project, which was converted to the Hintishia Estuary Rehabilitation Program, which is the removal of the dredge pool. Depreciation and amortization, this was lower than the previous, than the final budget, and the result was for this was the budgeted depreciation was calculated using anticipated dates for the capitalization. The roads were completed on time, but the handover did not take place until the snares were completed. The canal cost net of charge-out, there was a decrease with regards to that of 6 million, and this variance is due to lower recoveries from the projects due to changes in the project programming and the reprioritization of the budget for the removal of the dredge pool. In terms of maintenance and repairs, there is also a difference from the budget to the actual of 1 million. And this is a result of the provision being made for the settlement agreement between the Indonesian sugar planters and the Manaliso Western Park Authority in relation to the Indonesia Estuary mouth, pending the outcome of the court cases. fact that the outcome was favorable, you do not have to incur this cost. In terms of professional fees, we got $15 million. The actual was $18 million. And the result of this was fees associated with projects, in particular the GF project, with the juice, and this funding was diverted to the implementation of the Fiducia Estuary Drain Project. In terms of the subcontractors, a number of community members, we're working on an incentive basis, and this is one of the exceptions of the park. A decision was taken to offer these pricing for some of them. In terms of other, this variance was largely attributable to the lighting of the road, which was substantially reconstructed during the course of the year. And the surplus in the variance for the net surplus was due to the difference in the basis of preparation of the budget and the financial statements. In terms of the audited findings, we have a clean audit as our deputy chair stated. And the only matter of emphasis was related to a defendant claim on a fire claim lawsuit, which was disclosed in note 19 to the financial statements. The entity has referred the claim to legal counsel, and the ultimate outcome of the matter cannot presently be determined. And in terms of the staff demographics, as at the end of the year, the percentage African was 70%, percentage female 51%, and percentage female in management positions was 54%, and percentage persons with disabilities was 2%.
Okay, thank you very much for the presentation. Precise to the point, we don't expect to spend more time with Mangaliso because of the size of the entity. Yes, but we must congratulate you on the clean audit report. You have maintained that from last year, actually, for people. Years before, so the entity is doing well. There are no major issues. I'm going to ask for questions, but just for my own interest, this claim for cell fire is not something that is that you can claim from insurance.
There was no insurance as regards to the dam. The dam belongs to the state.
Okay. So maybe, I don't know, maybe if you can just explain to us how does this liability arise. I think I see it's about 30 million. It's quite a substantial amount. Can you just give a bit of explanation as how it arose? What was damaged?
As I understand the chairperson and the village of Turiki, there was a fire that affected a plantation, a commercial plantation. And the question is around where the fire started and liability for the fire. And the $35 million is the claimed cost of damage to the plantation.
Yeah.
The question is whether the fire fell into the Mangaliso property and whether the Mangaliso is responsible then for the fire having spread to the plantation and the cost of damage to the plantation.
Okay. And was it not a controlled fire?
It's not a controlled fire, no.
Okay. But ultimately, the Mangaliso is responsible.
The court will decide on that.
Or it will cause.
Mm.
Just to add to that, it happened in a village nearby. Fire was set from there, went into its Mangaliso property and then over to the commercial plantation.
Okay, you want to add on that?
I can just give an opinion on it, that in terms of the National Film and Forestry Act, you have to be a member of the FPA, which they are, and you have to take in reasonable measures to stop the fire from from moving across your property and affecting an adjacent property. But the thing that's interesting about plantations is that there are huge risks that typically get people to be reluctant to burn adjacent to them. So you get senescence of the felt, aging of the felt, and it becomes far more flammable. And I've had those engagements with the forestry industry to say they actually have an obligation to work with their neighbours because of the risk that they impose on their neighbours with what they have there. And I hope that these arguments are taken when they take it to court, because both of those things, if they've done everything that they should have done, then they have a reasonable claim against being held liable. But on top of that, those plantations do have an obligation to help minimize the risk on their borders.
Okay. Evet, Rubens, Nuru Kadevi, Marmur Mazika, Marmur Teri.
Thank you, Rubens. Thank you very much. I think the issue about the fire, because I also wanted to know who started the fire, but it seems nobody knows until the court decides. The other issue, Chair, President, that I want to clarify on, I don't know how did they arrive 200% in PR programs, because if you take into consideration when we did our marine special bill, it had nothing to do with Isimangaliso, but the comments that we had from the public which lives around Isimangaliso, it was very bad. The image of Isimangaliso is not that 100% good as it appears on the performance of the previous year, or on the performance of the year under review. I don't know, maybe if you can shed some light, how did you arrive for that 100% PR program that you have achieved? And if it's not what I think it is, maybe it's something else, because I see that it also includes marketing as well, strategy. I would hope to see your stakeholders' engagement to become part of your performance indicator, so that you also convey to this community around the park, or around these Magalis, what you are trying to achieve. Whatever, when you come to home take of fish that they need to comply with, you must be able to say to them, based on the scientific evidence, this is what is happening, so that they understand the rationale of the decision that you take, that we also need to maintain our standard as a heritage park, the heritage park. If you can be able to have that engagement and make the people understand why you are doing what you're doing each and every day, then they will be in a better position. Then I would agree with you that you have achieved 100%. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, it is good for the entity to achieve the clean audit, but it is very good when that clean audit is translated into what is happening on the ground. You see, Chairperson, the issue, as Honorable Hadebe was mentioning, you see the name Isimangaliso. It's not a good name when you go to where it's coming from. When you can take this report to the people who are residing over there, they will want to throw this thing away. So that's what I'm saying when I say it is always very good when it is translated into what is really taking place on the ground. Chairperson, My first question is around the cooperative governance that the under key performance indicator. To say they have achieved everything around cooperative governance. You see, I then do not understand what they, I need to get the meaning of their cooperative governance, what they are really talking about. Who do they cooperate with as Isimangaliso? Because when you go there, you will find that people do not understand their operations, mayors around there. You'll find mayors saying, I don't know. Some people will talk about RBM wanting to mine Mangaliso, stopping that kind of an activity, but the mayor is going to say, there was just a program on SABC just about, I think, last week. You hear mayors saying, we are not aware of what Mangaliso is doing or intends doing. So if they've achieved 100% everything, then it means maybe it's a misunderstanding the meaning of cooperative governance in terms of this Mangaliso. Number two, Chairperson, they have given 36 bursaries because of the additional funding. One would be interested in knowing as to where did they get the additional funding from, and also if they have got actual geographical distribution of the bursary beneficiaries of the people along Isimangaliso, because when you're talking Isimangaliso, it shouldn't be the St. Lucia area, St. Lucia and surrounding. It should be St. Lucia down to Cosima. So I would be interested if you've got information as to how are these bursaries distributed, and how do you ensure that all the people along the Isimangaliso Park are aware of these bursaries. And the last one, Chair, will be on the issue of the percentage procurement from black-owned suppliers. Just for information as to where are these black owned suppliers from? Are they from Mkanyagute or maybe from Durban or wherever? How much of the black suppliers are from the district where Isimangaliso is coming from? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, firstly, well done on the clean audit, and Professor Karodia, there's a lot of pressure on you to keep up the good work here. My questions are quite simple. I just want to know, we see the expenditure increased legal and professional fees. Let's focus on the legal. We've heard a little bit about the fire thing in court, but what other legal matters are there that Isimangaliso is facing? I just would like to get clarity on that one. And then with the additional funding, I didn't catch what GEF and PATH stood for, so if someone can just help me with that.
Congratulate that you have helped this group should be heading up, congratulating. I know you can do that. Yeah, but then questions remain. Firstly, on the annual report itself, you have awarded 9 tourism activity licenses to local community owned operators on those that you indicated, being drive, estuary cruises, paddle for charter fishing, and so on. Perhaps it's somewhat linked to what my colleagues were saying. If Mangalus operates in a sea of unemployment, and I know it's not your only responsibility, that local government and all other spheres of government have to guard it, but is it enough, or there are programs to still go on in this regard, so that almost all people are given an opportunity to have some skills, and they may at some point get the license to be able to operate and give the family community to have and beyond. But I'm just saying, is it being continued so that we will end up in it? The second point, you have signed a co-management agreement with Landscape. And part of the problem where you are is in Landscape. And I don't think that it's now been all of them. Ultimately, how many ways are supposed to be signed, all in all, so that we are not just told of the achievement when we don't understand the negative. The thing, it's supposed to be so many, and so far it's 8 that have been signed. It is head around. Mm-hmm. So whether the particular understanding of the negative. You have as well established 14 agricultural gardens. Towards food security and so on. And because of funding, this program was stopped. Although you do want to pursue it, how far is your plan and your budget? The last two, on your program, you indicated many other aspects that you do. One of those is fighting crime. Not kind of fighting corruption, which is great. But on the rest, where you deal with social protection, economy and employment, and so on, you do indicate the sort of activity that you engage in. But on fighting corruption, there's no measures or mechanisms that you engage on to deal with that. It's just left on its own. Whether you don't know what you want to do, or you don't want those who are engaged in corruption to know that this is what you will be doing. But I'm saying it's just left, and there's no indication what you will be doing then. The last point, when we, the very last, the very last,
the last but not least,
yes. When we dealt with SAMHSA, there was an issue around the conflict of interest, and which has been a problem across many institutions, corporate institutions. So what extent may this be happening in Mangalore? Do you know?
Thank you. Okay, those are the questions. You know, I really wanted to ask what happened to the CEO. What really happened? Okay. What's the question?
Thank you, Chairperson. That's a mouthful of questions, and I'm going to start by responding, I think, at a fairly high strategic level to some of them, because I think a number of them are pointing in the same direction. And then I will ask the interim CEO and the CFO to give more specific detail on it. I think there is a very serious challenge that we are facing at Isimangaliso around precisely the fact that it is situated in the middle of sea poverty and under development. And you've seen the budget. The budget of the park is not big, it's a small staff. There are enormous expectations about what the park can deliver in terms of development. We are very, very well aware of the need to actually deliver more in terms of development and to ensure that the north of the park is delivered, is developed, not just the south. We're working very hard on programs to try and ensure that happens. Equally around that, the need to make sure we already have most of the jobs, a lot of the work is actually locally sourced, but we need to drive it further and we need to do more in terms of trying to create jobs. The challenge of Isimangaliso not having a good name in the area, we are well aware of what the challenges are. We're well aware of the pressures from some parts of the community to allow mining as an alternative to the park. The concerns around the land claims, where some of the challenges are that not all the land claims have been finally resolved by the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. So there are contestations around the claims, let alone any challenges around the whole system of co-management, which in itself has its own challenges. I think the board is very, very well aware of the challenges and of the challenges of cooperative government. The KPIs that we've referred to is actually around corporate governance, not around cooperative government. But we are well aware of the fact that we do actually need to do a lot more in terms of building our relationship with the municipalities in the area, building our relationship with the KZN wildlife and with KZN tourism, and strengthening our relationship with the DEA and making sure that in fact that we are harnessing cooperative government in the best interest of the park and of development of the area, because quite frankly the greatest threat to the park is that economic development does not happen in the area, and we really do need to see economic development happening inside and outside the park. So that I think is trying to respond at a fairly high level to say that we are very, very conscious. The board is in fact working overtime to build the relationships with the Amakosi, with the mayor, with the various players in government to try and actually resolve a number of the challenges we have in the area at the moment. And we are working very closely with DEA to try and address some of those issues as well. Having said that, I think I will hand over to the interim CEO and the CFO to be more specific in their responses. Individual questions.
With respect to the 36 bus trips and the additional funding that we received, we raised the community nearly, and the CEO had taken the decision to move some of that money that he wants to the bus trips. So that is why we had additional bus trips that we could cover. In terms of the process that we follow for the bus trips, within the economy for Western Park Authority, and we explain to them the bursary process, and we give them the bursary application forms, and then we ask them to give them the forms back to the next certain time, and based on the forms that we receive, we then do an interview, is conducted with them, and then based on the interviews, we award the bursary. So every single school within the economy for Western Park are informed, and they are engaged with regards to. We do have a list of the bursaries in terms of the geographical area which we can make available to. With regards to the percentage procurement of the 76%, we also have a list of those suppliers as well, and we can also make that available through to you. The majority of the suppliers are within the economy for the 10 parts. With regards to the legal fees here relate to the opening of the estuary now, with regards to the sugarcane contract, as well as the to the acronyms part. It's a program for applied technology in health. It's an international program and it relates to training with regards to HIV and AIDS and with regards to GEF, that is the Global Environmental Fund, Economic Fund Facility, and that is sponsored by the World Bank. With regards to the co-management agreement, we will have to get back to you on that. We don't have an answer in terms of how many co-management agreements are not in place.
I just want to add, Chair, to you. In the 17 days that I've been there, I've engaged the entire 22 trust in a meeting that went on from about 8 o'clock on that night. So the area is very volatile. Not something easy to handle. You need to be lion-hearted to get in there. Because I went to a 4 o'clock in the morning SABC interview with my colleague Cesar Sevilla. And the community was there, and it was about 300 people. I was unfazed by the number of people because I'm used to this from the Northwest province. But they were accepted. They said blood will flow, whatever the issues are. And, you know, I'm woefully aware of that. But if you're a South African, you need to be a patriotic South African, irrespective of age. You need to take a pull with a horn and you need to move on. Right? So if anybody tells me that that is an ordinary playing ground where we can play casino and chips, it's not so. There are demands all the time. And there are unreal expectations from other people. But I think I'm taking the trust with me. And in those 17 days, I also met with Judge Ngwenya, who is the chairperson of the Ngwenya Trust, Ngwenyama Trust. So much of my time has been going on traveling and understanding my constituency. I met with 5 Amakosi. I had a fruitful meeting with them. Some are dissatisfied. People will appease them and move forward because without big cooperation, nothing can be done. So out in civil society, there's a perception that Isimangaliso can do everything for the entire community. And I don't blame them for one moment, because the expectations in democracy 25 years down the line has been heightened. And there has been also the issue of mining versus tourism. And that doesn't fall within our jurisdiction, basically. It's a DEA issue. And they need to actually handle it. But we handle it for them, because we're on the ground. So I can assure you that it won't be easy going. I will try my best. I will harness my staff. I'll deal with the media as best as I can. And I will attempt to appease people, because without appeasement, there can be no stakeholder relationship. And I think the cardinal issue is stakeholder relationships and the building of relationships with Amakosi. And with your support as members of parliament, who I invite you to visit, right, it's one thing asking the questions over the table, but the second thing to actually see the issue yourself and understand the problems that are there. So for me, it's been a wonderful exercise to engage with you. I'm back in the public service for 33 years, so I'm back for 6 months to see what I can do. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Just something which captured my... No, let me use this correct word. Caught my attention, not captured me. My attention. Otherwise they will think I'm captured. Joking. Crashing on the rocks, right? Now, Chairperson, I'm looking at this performance indicator that was not achieved of banning of the banning. It says impossible to ban the full extent because of the unpredictable rains. My concern is not about the rain or the banning. The issue is that we've got something he's got a wealth of information of the species that we've got in the country. And it appears to me that now we are realizing that some of the vegetation are changing because of climate change. It means people were bending without even having to look what are the kind of species that they are doing. Are they bending the invasive species or they are just bending for the sake of bending? If you remember, we were told that it's Mangaliso. They discovered the fish that was thought to be extinct. So just imagine the kind of vegetation that you can find with Mangaliso. Maybe there is a plant that we don't know about, which was never researched. And if we keep on burning without having research, without getting your sister branch, which is Sandvik, which got a wealth of information, can be useful to assist you. Maybe some of the plants that you want to plant, or the vegetation that you want to plant, literally doesn't need to be burned actually. So you need to utilize the other available branches that we've got in the department. Because it seems now the left hand doesn't understand what the right hand is. Right hand is doing. And I think that would be my advice, Chairperson. That one just caught my attention. I think I needed to make it a comment. Chair, thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. I guess just to say it's an advice that there must be closer collaboration.
Mm.
Interaction with Sandy in order to get this kind of expertise. It did capture your imagination.
You
resulting in a good advice. I'm sure the advice is accepted. Honorable
I accept that on some of the questions I raised, you may not have quickly heard it now. But perhaps you will need to work on them with a few samples. But why we also raised the chair, the issue on conflict of interest. In the country, there's been an issue almost in every age or any discipline. You go to higher education and training, lectures themselves, author books and prescribe them for particular courses, and they are working in those universities and the universities buy from them. So you may not be aware, because you may not be involved, you might have just arrived, the other people were there. But it's a matter that is continuing, that people end up describing other entrants in the participation into the economy or economic activity because they are inside and observing their own age and the handling of the issues there to connive and to conspire and do certain things. So I'm saying, Chair, in as much as yes, you may not want to say this is the situation, but it's a matter that should work on so that it's not lost. I may not force to the extent that we have answers here and now, but it's a matter that across the board should work on.
Conflict of interest.
Can I just respond to that, and then we'll come to other questions that people will answer after. I think you're absolutely right. We are not aware, as we sit here, of any conflict of interest cases in the past, but it is certainly something that as a board we're very conscious of. And are looking at quite carefully. So yes, we will keep that on our radar and keep looking at it. And we will work with DEA as well to assist us in actually making sure that all of the necessary procedures that we need are actually in place. And we've already had part of that discussion with DEA. There was a question around 14 agricultural gardens, and I don't know if we can give a reply now. Or whether we'll need to give the details on that later. And then there was a question around corruption and the specific measures around corruption. And I don't know if we need to comment on that. We'll come back to writing on those issues. What are the specific measures that we are taking around ensuring that we avoid corruption?
So the CFO is the CEO. The difficult one. happened to the former CEO?
Chairperson, I think I presume that the committee has seen the formal statement that was released from the minister.
The statement?
There was a statement. We can make it available. I don't have it easy to hand.
You don't know what happened?
The CEO has left to go and pursue studies and other interests.
So that is what is in the statement.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds to be a difficult one.
No, I don't think it's difficult.
You know, when you ask a question, especially in this setup, and you get referred to a statement, you must know that it's a difficult issue.
Mm.
Because ordinarily it's supposed to be an easy thing. You say, oh, okay, no, the CFO, CEO had left the organized party, is going to pursue his studies somewhere. But when something is tense, you know, you immediately pick up that there were issues. I don't know, I'm not suggesting that there were issues, but I'm saying in the kind of responses, because even the last time I did ask, but the answer wasn't immediately, you know, forthcoming. What we know is that there was an amicable cutting of ways, so I don't know what that means.
Chairperson, I think that to strengthen...
I'm putting you on the spot because you represent the board.
I do represent
the minister is not here. I was going to ask him.
The CEO has moved on to other things. It was amicable. There is no issue or tension or hard feeling. The CEO is working with the interim CEO and will continue to give support to the park. Particularly around a number of the development projects in the north that we're trying to work on at the moment. So I don't think you need to concern yourself about particular issues at all.
The thing is that answer was not just coming up. There was a statement that we have referred to and we don't have a statement.
We can distribute it.
Yeah. No, but it's okay. The CEO has left. The interim CEO, whom I've known for quite some time, for some years now, and I know he's very competent. The passion is still there. You can hear even when he speaks. But it's only going to be service for 6 months. I'm saying you're going to be there for 6 months only. So which means they will have to recruit and get somebody else. So this is an interim arrangement. But maybe in the time that you are there, maybe you must help us with your experience to make sure that you bridge this divide between the community and the park. There's some expectations that are there from the community. Which might also because of social conditions that people find themselves in, they create some expectations. But it's our responsibility as leaders, as managers, to communicate what is possible, what is not possible. And that you can only do when you interact. There are forums where people know where you are and there's a certain level of transparency and ownership by the people, that they can begin to understand and appreciate the limitations that are there in terms of resources and so on. So this is what will be resting in the shoulders of the next couple of people. And I think we must continue to do that, working with the board. Something that we picked up when we were there, that there's a bit of a sense that people don't seem to feel that they own the park.
Mm-hmm.
But also when you listen, you get that there's a lot of expectation.
Mm-hmm.
there are things that the party is doing that is not properly communicated. What gets communicated is the enforcement part. Mm-hmm. Enforcement, the party is doing this, the party is killing us, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I think we must begin that dialogue to try and break these barriers, and people must understand. Firstly, the mandate of the party, that is conservation, is preservation of the environment. And the fact that the park must also facilitate economic activities of the people, but can't answer all the, can't resolve the social problems that are there, because that is a function of a combination of actions from national government, from provincial, from local ministers. Honorable Mabika is from that side. So as and when you interact with people, you must touch base with him. He has got a lot of passion because he's from the area. I think we are done. Thank you very much for coming. Honorable members, thank you very much, Judy and your team. Tomorrow we are starting with source annual report. There are other matters that we start with of source that we discussed in the past before. We hope that the board will be there, will be here. I received a letter here that confirms that members will be here. There are others who, because of reasons which I think are justified, will not be able to be here except for one. Professor Elizabeth Mokoto, we are trying to get hold of her. They can't get hold of her. I don't know.
Okay.
How is it possible that the professor cannot be able to be reachable? But the rest of the other apologies, I think they make, they are understandable. One is attending a matter in court with an advocate. Has been set down, it can't be postponed. The other one is a resigned, the other one is a retired, the other member, her mother is in ICU, and her condition is critical. So these are all the apologies that are acceptable. They are real apologies. As I say, except for one, so six members of the board will be here. I don't know whether they keep, why do they keep on mentioning Judy as a board member, because they're supposed to be at the rep of the department. But anyway, they say you'll also be here. So yeah, we'll be dealing with the board, and then later on, Sunday, and it should be done. So we might be finished a bit earlier tomorrow, depending on the first session, how long is it going to take. Thursday we don't have anything. We were supposed to have something, but we were since agreed between the committee secretary and the department that session is not going to take place. The department is not ready. So yeah, thank you very much. Well, what time are we starting? 10. Okay, we're starting at 10 tomorrow.
Which venue?
S12. S12 is the NCOP. S12, yeah. Okay, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Yeah.
I'd love to be in it today and hope I can be for my colleagues.
So even the distribution of the resources will tell you that they have invested a lot. That is why they make a mistake when they talk about television, because they have a lot.
And I think that should be communicated, because that is very important. Because people are prepared to die for the way you are taking food. That's the only way.